You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you to look ahead to two big tournaments this week, the Porsche European Open and the Tour Championship. And I've decided to record it all in audio form this week, and so everyone can hear everyone's opinions
on the podcast. I think a podcast's better when you can hear what people
say. Good idea, I second that.
I think it's the way forward.
We got a few people saying that they couldn't hear me last week, and my automatic response was, well, isn't that a good thing? We got two events this week, the Porsche European Open and, of course, the FedEx Series Final.
Me and Dave just had a knowing nod to each other.
I did notice that. It would have been okay if I wasn't posing some of the questions. we've got two events this week. And if we didn't already know before last week, Mr. Tindall, Jason Day's pretty good at golf.
Yeah, I sort of backed him in the middle week when he didn't win.
He's won three of his last four events.
Yeah, sometimes you just keep sort of riding the hot horse, shouldn't you? And as soon as they, go slightly cool, and should have got back on. What was he last week? About 7-1.
Yeah.
In hindsight, he's playing the best golf by a mile, isn't he? Out of anybody, so 7-1.
Yeah.
You know, as a world number one, if you equate it to Tiger being world number one, what would a Tiger have been last week? You know,
he's not Tiger Woods yet, though, is he?
No, but five wins, is it, this year?
Yep.
That's astonishing, isn't it? Mm. Even thought that he could...
Well, four in his last six events now.
Thought that if he wins this, could he be player of the year? You said no, didn't you, because of the double major hit.
He can't be, can he? I don't think he can.
I don't think he can, but I've had conversations with people on Twitter, and they think that if he wins this week, he will be... player of the year. I still think Spieth.
Yeah, I do too. Two wins, a second and a third in the four majors, and you're not player of the year. That would be wrong, wouldn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, he probably
are the players up for the BMW Championship and the Barclays as much as they are the majors?
Given,
not a chance.
Yeah, given the way the majors are so sort of
they're
huge
exalted,
in golf, better than huge. Though, yeah. I just said.
A player like Colin Montgomery, who had a brilliant career, yet people besmirch him because he didn't win a major. Yeah, you know, they wouldn't do the same if he hadn't won a FedEx playoff event, would they? It's just they're on a different level, aren't they? Yeah. The majors. What people can't have it both ways.
Yeah, FedEx. Well, we're in the eighth year or ninth year, and still a young pup, aren't they? Mm. Golfing terms.
You know, it's arguable to say that one of the reasons that. It's something you mentioned, Dave, that there are multiple winners a lot on these playoffs, is that a lot of the players have almost packed up for the season by now and, you know, are kind of exhausted and ready to have a little bit of a break. You know, they're not... The players don't base their season around the FedEx playoffs.
Yeah, I suppose if you get hot in them, you can then win the next week. When the majors, you've got to, you know, peak and for each one and time it all.
I think some of them are dropping their hands a little bit by this stage, don't you?
No, I agree. Let's get stuck into this week then. Because it is a big week with the Tour Championship, and we've got the Porsche European Open as well, and we'll start with the Porsche European Open on the European Tour.
This is a good week to mention the sponsors in case they're...
In case they're listening.
Benevolent
mood. Do you say, are you a Porsche man or a Porsche man?
Whatever Porsche want us to say, we'll call it that.
Bernd Wiesberger is the favourite for the event.
Imagine if a Porsche turned up on Monday morning outside the offices and it was for us.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Well, they wouldn't. They would have it.
We'd just chop it three ways.
Whoever does the best tips this week wins it.
We don't even get a bag of crisps, let alone a Porsche.
I'll take for your spin round leads, innit?
All right, thanks, Dave.
Bernd Wiesberger, 12-1 shot, the favourite to win the event. Charles Schwartzel and Hunter Mahan, both 16s. Byung Yun Ahn is 20-1. Fabrizio Zanotti is 25s, along with Maximilian Kiefer. Joost Luiten is 28-1. David Howell, Graham McDowell, Mark Warren, Rafa Cabrera-Bello and Søren Kjeldsen, all 33s, and it's 40-1 and bigger the remainder. Dave, I think this is a welcome addition to the schedule and maybe hints at a resurrection of the European Tour, which has been, as we've mentioned on numerous podcasts, on the wane over the last few seasons, because back in the 80s and 90s, this was a big event,
yeah,
and then became extinct after the 2009 renewal. Good to have it back on the schedule.
It is, yeah, 2009. I mean, it's been played every year, hasn't it, since 1978. So good to be back. And I think it's good to get another event in Germany, isn't it? It's obviously they put on good tournaments. And it's a vast complex. It's the Hartl complex, I think.
Yes.
And it's the Beckenbauer course, which always sounds quite cool, doesn't it?
It does. I think there's five courses there. And the Beckenbauer course in Germany, and Bernhard Langer was instrumental in its design, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It's a course measuring 7,188 yards, a par 70. According to amateurs that I was looking through the the top 100s, yeah, and like the and according to the amateurs that have played it, there's water everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of it doesn't come into play for the professionals.
No, I read that a lot of water, quite flat. A few said it was a bit kind of bland, maybe. I guess sometimes tourists are looking for some amazing experience, but the six courses on this resort, it certainly confused me, Dave. I think the course previously had been known as Hartl, but that's the name of the whole resort.
That's the name of the,
So I couldn't find any course for them, but it has been used on the Challenge Tour, as you say, last 3 years. Winning scores, one of them was minus 19. I always think if it's a resort course, it's not going to be too hard, is it? So I think there'll be plenty of birdies knocking about this week.
No, I agree. It should be a double figure.
Nice weather. Hardly any wind, apparently, when I looked. So
quite wide fairways usually in Germany as well. So, you'd expect scoring to be pretty good.
Yeah,
this
week. In Bavaria. It's Oktoberfest, isn't it?
And everyone will be...
Yeah, for your
beers. Well, if you miss the cut, they've got something to do, haven't they?
Yeah.
They can get stuck into some pigs. Oh, that's topical.
any fancies this week, Mr. Grenham?
No, I don't.
I don't
have
know if
any
I can
fancies.
Continue on the podcast now after that.
I don't have any fancies this week, David. I don't fancy anyone in this event, particularly. But it's a good field, isn't it? Without course form, I'm a little bit, unsure as to where to go. So I'll be watching it. I thought I might have had a bet last week on the European Tour. This week, more chance, I think, as well, in running. Just want to see how it plays.
Yeah, if you want to follow Mike on Twitter, at mgrenham, for the elusive Twitter bet. I've got one pick, Mr. Tindall. How many have you got?
Yeah, just the one.
Okay.
This one, yeah.
You tee us off.
Yeah, it's basically, last week it was a course that there wasn't any form to go on, and it went to a Swedish guy, Rickard Kalberg. If you look back, he had quite a lot of decent top 25s and stuff like that. Well, I'm going for the other Swede who has lots of top 25s without winning, Christopher Broberg.
Okay, 4-1.
You like him, don't you?
Yeah, I think the thing with him, you look at his putting stats, he used to be an absolutely useless putter, but now he's turned that around, putted well again last week for another top 25. I think that's seven top 25s in his last 10 starts, so he's really playing consistent golf. Obviously, another Swede win, sometimes you get that, don't you? A bit of inspiration that, oh, right,
yeah,
my
it does
turn
happen.
To go. And to be honest, I'm not particularly sure if this course suits him or not. It's just that he's 40-1 in a, it's not the greatest ever field. It's a decent enough field, but it's not a great field. So just, I mean, maybe if he'd come like fourth last week, he would have been knocking around 25s, 28s to one. So I just thought 40-1 was an acceptable price in this quality of field, given the way he's playing and that little Swedish, I'm going to emulate my mate kind of thing. Presuming they get on, maybe they're fierce rivals.
Well, if they're fierce rivals, even more so.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Yeah, I'll show you precisely. My bet's Michael Hoey at 66-1 here. I'll play him a point each way. His wins have generally come as bolts from the blue, something that's been mentioned on previous podcasts as well. And I thought there was still sufficient reason to be with him this week at 66-1. He's been remarkably consistent recently. Finished in a tie for 27th in Denmark, followed that up with a tie for 22nd at the Czech Masters, and then finished in a tie for 4th at the Russian Open last time. That was obviously a very weak event in Russia, but his stats were strong throughout the bag, and as a five-time winner on tour, I thought he was worth a play. He also played very well in the BMW International Open, played at Germany early on in the season, finished 7th there back in late June. So if you're looking at location form,
That's Bavaria as well, isn't it? So it's not too far, I guess.
So hopefully the courses will play to a similar dynamic. He likes to go low, Michael Hoeing. I think 66 to 1 is fine, so I'll play my point each way.
Yeah, all good.
Any others that you that stood out to you in this field then?
I'm quite close to David Howell at 33, just because of he puts so well, doesn't he, that if you are looking for birdies, he's likely to roll his rock very nicely. I think there's a bit of space off the tee. He said recently he was struggling a bit with his driver. That was the one thing slightly hampering him. But 25th and 12th the last 2 weeks, David Howell, another player. He was tied ninth in that BMW you mentioned as well. So there's a few little roads that suggest he might go well at 33. Is maybe just a tiny bit tight.
Good to see Hunter Mahan play as well, Mike, given that it's the first time he's missed out in the FedEx Cup, isn't it? And he's decided to come over to Europe and play an event.
Wouldn't be backing him at 16s, though, would you? No. Nice to see him there, but I wouldn't be jumping all over that.
I reckon he'll be in all those sort of pre-tournament sort of things, where anyway he'll be dressed in lederhosen and drinking
that's
a big beer.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. That's the safest bet of the week.
I wouldn't be mad on him. Lee Slattery could be a bit at 50s or thereabouts, couldn't he? He's first and second in his last two events. So he must have a little bit of a chance. But there's nothing that... I want to see how it plays this course and whether you're right in the fact that it's going to be loads of birdies and try and work it out through the tournament, I think.
One player that I would want to back if he was a bigger price was Maximilian Kiefer.
Yeah.
But he's been cut into 25s. I think Mark had said must like him, our compiler, because he's pretty short at 25 to 1. He's still making cuts, Maximilian Kiefer.
22 out of 22.
Yeah, but he's not got much good form in Germany, which is a surprise. I think he'll go well though, Maximilian Kiefer, this week. And another one that's worthy of mention, won in Korea last week, didn't he, Byung-Yun Ahn? Benny Ahn. And he's been the real mover, hasn't he, in the market?
Yeah, he played well in the Wyndham as well, didn't he, before that?
Yes,
because I think people thought maybe not a one hit wonder, but think, well, he's won the BMW, he's won at Wentworth by 6 shots, come on, show us more. But he hadn't for a while, but now maybe time for him to peak again.
Let's move on then, chaps. Let's have a look at the Tour Championship, this week's feature event. And Jason Day is the 7-2 favourite to win the Tour Championship. Rory McIlroy is 13-2. Jordan Spieth 8-1. Henrik Stenson and Ricky Fowler both 10-1. Justin Rose is 12-1. Dustin Johnson is 16s. And it's 20s bar. Top 30 in the FedEx Cup race, invited to attend the Tour Championship. And as it's fashionable to say, the top five in the standings control their own destiny. They will take home the $10 million bonus if they win this week. Those top five in the standings: Jason Day is number one, Jordan Spieth number two, Ricky Fowler number three, Henrik Stenson number four, and Bubba Watson at number five.
You're going to read out every permutation, Dave?
No, I'm not, because I've not got a clue about every single
person.
If he
wins, he must come 11th or worse.
I think that's the boring thing about the FedEx Cup, isn't it? Just going through those permutations. But basically, Day, Spieth, Fowler, Stenson, Watson win the $10 million bonus with a win here. And at least we've got a little bit of continuity here as well, Mike, with East Lake being the solitary host since 2004.
Yeah, it is. So, fairly familiar course and... all the best players there, but it's not lured me into a bet at 30 players at the moment. I'm going to leave it. I'm not having a bet in this one either.
It is 7-2 the field. Jason Day at the head of the market. It's a Donald Ross golf course design, this one, Dave, and historically it's been a fairways and greens course. We've seen a lot of events where the bombers have made hay, mainly down to Jason Day recently. But last week at Conway Farms, I was predicting a similar type of test to this week, but in the end that first page of the leaderboard was littered with big hitters last week.
But that fairways and greens thing that you say, that you speak of, that's led me towards my bet anyway.
Lead off again.
This is a guy who's only playing in this for the second time. He's not qualified for it since 2010, and it justifies his decision to drop his European Tour card and play in the States. Paul Casey.
Okay.
I just think he's a nice price at 50-1. When he did play it on that one and only occasion, he was fourth, so clearly he likes this course. It makes sense he likes this course because he's, great from tee to green. He's fourth in greens in regulation this year, was first in greens in reg last week when he knocked out a top 25. And he's just been so many close brushes, hasn't he, this year? He's lost in the playoff twice at the Northern Trust and the Travellers. He was tied third in the Honda and the Wyndham, tied sixth in the Masters, which is also in Georgia.
Yes. It's worth mentioning the Wyndham as well, because a lot of people will be looking at the Donald Ross courses, won't they? And that's one of the most prevalent ones here.
Yeah. So not that you get, we've said this before, you don't sort of get handed a win because you deserve one, but I think there's enough juice in that 50-1 to suggest he's worth a play to get a top four. Yeah, there's a lot of players in good form at Day. How do you keep him out of the top four? That's going to be hard. He's got a good course record as well. But I think 50-1 in such a limited field, only 30 runners, I think that's fine for Paul Casey. I'm sure he was the Masters.
Why did he withdraw Deutsche Bank?
He had a slight twinge in his back. But then, okay. Obviously, they had a week off. Then he was tied 23rd, I think, last week. So,
Slight worry, he was definitely someone who I had in mind for this. One of only two players that I probably looked at seriously. I think you're right, 50s is a decent price for him, and he does tick the boxes in the way he plays, isn't he? Good greens in reg, man. Yeah. So, I did look at him myself.
I mean, I think he's like 23rd or something in the FedEx Cup, so he can win it, I think. Everyone can win it, can't they, in theory, but he's not going to be thinking about winning it. I think he can just get on with winning the tournament or trying to.
Yeah.
Was the other man you were thinking of Kevin Kisner?
No.
That's just you. You're obsessed.
I'm going with him again this week.
I am,
Mike. You wouldn't believe it, would you?
Who would have credited that?
He's 16 points bigger than he was last week. And
why is that then?
We've reduced the field from however many it was last week to 30 this week.
Is this the same Kevin Kisner who's lost his way over last...
Do you think so? Do you think so? I'm not convinced he has lost his way. I don't mind the price at 66-1. He didn't play that well at Conway Farms, it has to be said. But that course suited length in the end, which isn't his forte. Hopefully this course will be more to his liking. As Rob Bolton's mentioned in his power rankings, the return to Bermuda grass could be a positive with him as well.
14th in Rob's power rankings.
Yeah, so. He is. And
so he'll finish midfield.
maybe so. If only it worked like that, we'd all be rich. We'd be rich every single
week. They're the actual results there.
Yeah, he did close with a 66 on Sunday at the at Conway Farms. Top end of the market, it's obviously tough to beat, but I thought there was significant juice in that price, to be honest. At 66-1, I didn't think he'd be that big. So I'm going to have a small interest on... It worked so well with Richie Ramsey when I picked him back-to-back that I decided to go in with Kevin Kisner this week again. At 66-1, and I think he's worth a play.
Teasing a bit, but it's a good price.
Yeah, I think it's a good price.
Price is good in 30 runners, isn't it? If you think you can do it, Stephen Bowditch, he's 150, isn't he, in Sangmoon Bay?
That would be a sick move if Sangmoon Bay won after last week.
Yeah,
he didn't play that well last week either, unfortunately.
I guess Casey and Kisner are sort of similar, aren't they? They've knocked at the door. They've lost playoffs this year.
I think very similar profiles this year. Yeah, Casey and Kisner. So hopefully those two will go
decent
well.
Decent prizes, I think, yeah. Mm. I thought you might have picked Bill Haas again, Dave, because I was thinking about him.
Yeah, because I think this is obviously a better course probably than last week. Yeah. It's the same logic will apply.
He's won here, hasn't he? So, yeah.
What is he? 50, same. 50 to yeah.
One. Yeah, but a much shorter field.
Yeah, much shorter field, better course for him. I mean, he was 100s last week, of course. I think that's ultimately
got
me involved.
You've gone from 70 to 30 runners, haven't you? And he's won here. And he is a player who does have repeat victories or repeat top finishes at certain courses. He is a...
Yeah, that's the Humana, doesn't
he?
He's
factored into that. I think his win at Eastlake is factored heavily into that price, though, isn't it?
Into the 50s?
Yeah, if you think about Kisner, who's not got any course form here, he's drifted on the back of his performance last week. And Haas did play better than
Haas played better
Kisner.
Than Kisner.
Kisner last week.
Haas finished the top 20 last week, so... He was hitting the greens, but he didn't get the birdies, did he? So that would be a worry here. You'd have to putt better, wouldn't he? I think Haas. So that's why I've not picked him, to be fair. But it wouldn't surprise me to see him play well. Casey and Haas were the closest for me, other than the obvious ones, which we should just pick every week. Jason Day every week.
You've been getting bored by it, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Jason Day winning.
I must say, last week
last
I lost interest quickly. As soon as he got a big lead, well, it's just... too good, isn't it?
I didn't want it's just got a bit boring, I think. It's not Jason Day's fault for being great, but it's not making for great viewing, I don't think.
No.
That's just my own opinion.
Well, what do you think to the price? Let's spin through some of the leading contenders, Mike. Jason Day is 7-2 in this field now.
Yeah, well, I think that's about right, don't you?
Yeah,
I think that's about Bob.
I wasn't expecting anything different.
He's just playing better than McIlroy and Spieth at the moment, isn't he? How long that will last, we'll have to see. It's quite amazing to see his transformation from someone who just struggled badly to get over the line, didn't he, for so long. He's still quite young, but he's quite precocious, so he's been playing for quite a while. But you know, you remember David Duval years ago? Dave, when he got a win, he kind of and this is another example of it. It's an interesting proposition. Will Emiliano Grillo be like that when he ever gets a win?
I think he will. I think he could be. And we've seen it with Thomas Peters, haven't we?
Absolutely, yeah.
With those quick wins back to back. Once they've got their head in front once.
Yeah, it's a massive difference, isn't it?
There's been a lot of horse racing references today.
Yeah,
because she's 2 year old
He's a thoroughbred, is Jason Day, honestly.
When Duval won, he won three in a row, didn't he, basically? I think he went win-win, week-off win.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rule out McIlroy or Spieth this week. They'll be itching to try and...
Spieth was runner-up, was he, last time?
The time before. Yeah. And McIlroy was runner-up last year. So he obviously likes this course, so... Of the three, he'd be the one I'd back.
He comes in fresher than the other two, doesn't he? McIlroy.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if it will be a factor, but it could be a factor. Spieth played well for a long way last week, though, before falling in a little bit of a late hole on that back nine. He was the one that was, I say, chasing Day.
Yeah, back in Georgia. He'd be waltzing around in his green jacket.
Yeah, he could be.
You could argue, just to play devil's advocate slightly, that they're decent prices, McIlroy and Spieth, because they've often been these kind of prices in 156 runner fields,
well,
haven't they?
Majors.
Yeah. You know? So there's 30 runners this week. You could argue that makes them very appealing each way, albeit they're only four places, not the usual five. But these are short fields at 30 runners. You know, it's a limited event, obviously, and 13-2 or 8-1, if you like those guys, is not the worst price in the world. And it's all because of Jason Day winning every week.
I think Fowler's got a big chance as well. It's pretty.
Yeah, well,
I think
Justin Rose has got a good chance as well. Yeah. He's got great form here, 12-1, Justin Rose. And I'll be cheering on Dustin Johnson as well, because he's somehow managed to work his way out of that top four in the...
What do we need here?
We need a top... If he finishes second and McIlroy and Fowler don't win, I think that gets it done.
For a place.
So he has to finish second.
Yeah, I mean... He needs to win $50 million to chase Jason
Day
down.
Let's hope it's a playoff between Sangmoon Bay, Stephen Burdish and Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So just the two picks on the podcast this week in terms of the, well, two events, two picks in each event. Just recap your selections then, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, so I'll have a point each way on Christopher Broberg in Germany, and I shall have a point each way Paul Casey in the Tour Championship.
Yeah, I'll have a point each way on both my guys as well. Michael Hoey at 66-1 in the European Open, and Kevin Kisner at 66-1 in the Tour Championship.
One thing we didn't mention is, what did you make of the Solheim Cup controversy?
That is interesting. I didn't think it was anywhere near as bad as people made out. That was my initial instinct. But, I mean, the vitriol that Suzanne Pettersson received on Twitter, I don't think she deserved that, in all honesty. Mike,
I think it's spirit of the event. They should have let the Americans have the hole.
Yeah, the next hole.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the worst scenario, that they come away looking like the bad girls and they lose as well. It's like
But if they'd won, she'd have been pilloried, wouldn't she? Even more.
It's almost a relief that they lost in that regard, isn't it?
I suppose.
And then she had to apologise after not wanting to apologise the first time. It was a bit of a mess, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit of a mess.
I think the Ryder Cup and these events are great, but you've got to get in perspective, I think. And you want to win properly, don't you? Golf's a game where you've got to have a bit of
the thing that she'd been warned, hadn't she, Alison Lee?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I read, that she'd been warned on a couple of occasions prior to that incident not to pick the ball up without being told it was a concession.
What, during the match?
During the match, during the event, that's been mentioned on
a
couple of occasions.
Because that should have been mentioned more forcefully, if that is the case.
Have a look. I know the Secret Tour Pro Twitter account, who's one of the tour professionals, did mention that on his account quite a few times. It's been mentioned by a couple of journalists as well.
That would change my view altogether if she'd been warned.
Yeah, she I think she had.
Ultimately, though, overall, do you think it's a bad thing for women's golf in the fact that everyone's sort of talking about it suddenly?
Yeah, a bit of profile.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing, isn't it? Because would we have mentioned the Solheim Cup this week otherwise?
Yes.
Yes, of course we would have. Well done to the Americans for winning the Solheim Cup.
Oh, by the way, there's a senior tour event this week, which I'm a bit looking at.
Right. Oh, you're more likely to have an interest in that.
More likely to have a bet in that than anything, I would think.
Can I, as a seniors expert, can I just ask you how well do you think Langer might play in this European Open, given that he designed the course?
I think he'd play well. Yeah, I'm just looking at his price, funny enough, when you were talking earlier. Yeah, 125 or something like that, I think it was.
Yeah.
100, sorry. Yeah, 100. Given that Davis Love can win on the PGA Tour, Langer... He's still so fit and he plays great, doesn't he? He's not played quite as well this year as the last couple,
to
be
fair. He's had quite a lot of second places, hasn't he, of late?
But I would be very surprised if he doesn't make the cut and, finish top 20. Wouldn't be at all surprising to me.
Can we back him top 20? What's the best way we can
slightly
downgrade?
I think probably the top 20 is the way to play it. He is 100-1, as mentioned. Top 10 finish is the only market available at the moment. 8-1 to finish inside the top 10, Bernhard Langer.
Yeah, not unappealing. No. I won't be charging out of the studio to lump on, but he's just a very good player still, and sometimes these seniors are underestimated. So there's a good field, actually, in the Champions Tour event this week. Love's playing, Singh's playing, which is unusual. Couples is playing, so it's a cracking event. Yeah, Monty's up there as well.
Do check out that on the William Hill website as well.
It's what's it called? Nature
Valley
First
Tee Open. Colin Montgomery 5-1 market leader there. Davis Love is 8-1. Jeff Maggot, who's had a terrific year, hasn't he? 8-1. Fred Couples and Vijay Singh both 10s and 16s bar. So we might have a tweet from Mr. Grenham on that. You can follow Mike on Twitter at M Grenham. You can follow myself at D Kellner and Dave at Dave Tyndall Golf. Who's the player you don't want to win this week? Who came closest to making the cut?
Jason Day.
Yeah, just because it's so boring when it does. 7-2 Jason Day.
That's for the next 20 weeks.
Yeah, Dave?
Yeah, well, him, probably David Howell in Europe was close.
I'd say Justin Rose I was probably closest with, so maybe him in the Tour Championship.
Yeah, Hill Bass or Paul Casey for me.
Hill Bass. Thank you for your company, folks. Remember, you can download this podcast via iTunes or check us out on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. And myself, Mike, and Dave will be back with a debrief